Today, we are going to think about divine judgment. When I say that, what is your first thought? Hooray! God is going to judge them. Insert your favourite baddie in the blank. Or is it, oh no, God's going to judge me? In today's readings, I was struck by the stuff about refiner's fire in Malachi. I like the idea that Jesus is refining everyone to make us all fit to live with each other and love one another in a redeemed world. When did we turn our hearts to the notion that the world would be better with us in it, but with our enemies destroyed? The whole revelation of Jesus, from when he created the world in Genesis, to when he stands in glory, hand in hand with the bride, at the dawn of a new era in Revelation, shows his good intentions towards us all. He did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. He talks about God being just like him. He talks about God making the sun shine and the rain pour on the righteous and the unrighteous. He tests his listeners by debating with the Syrophoenician woman and then giving her the bread which he had teased did not belong to foreign dogs. He makes the tax man, Zacchaeus, his friend, with amazing results. When the woman caught in adultery is brought before him and the man has been allowed to go scot-free, he says she must not be stoned, but also says, sin no more. He tells us not to wage war. He tells us to forgive and not to wish ill on those who have hurt us. He even forgave those who ripped the skin off his bones and nailed him to a cross so he could only breathe by pushing all his weight on those horrid wounds to lift himself up. Notice, when he was resurrected, didn't go and have dinner with Pontius Pilate, though I would have liked to see Pilate's face if he did. You don't have to choose to hang about with people who abuse you. Jesus hung about with his friends after the resurrection. I did safeguarding training this week about domestic abuse. Our advice for victims is to get advice and support and to leave when you have a safe plan. Love is not about excusing violence or mistreatment, but rather it is about not wishing their destruction and about praying for their redemption. So let's look at Malachi in a bit more detail. The first part talks about Jesus. It's a prophetic outpouring of encouragement that one day all shall be well. It says, then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Then there is the warning that judgment will be scary. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable in the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. I like Rob Bell's take on this. from his book, Love Wins. In chapter 2, he writes, central to their vision of human flourishing in God's renewed world, then, was the prophet's announcement that a number of things that can survive in this world will not be able to survive in the world to come, like war, rape, greed, injustice, violence, pride, division, exploitation, disgrace. Their description of the life in the age to come is both thrilling and unnerving at the same time. For the earth to be free of anything destructive or damaging, certain things have to be banished. Decisions have to be made. Judgments have to be rendered. And so they spoke of a cleansing, purging, decisive day when God would make those judgments. They called this day the Day of the Lord. The day when God says enough to anything that threatens the peace. Shalom is the Hebrew word. Harmony and health that God intends for the world. God says no to injustice. God says never again to the oppressors who prey on the weak and vulnerable. God's judgment in Malachi starts with the Levites, those who served to help us worship. God sorts them out first, removing everything that is not of love's kind. Maybe today we might say that first God will judge lay ministers or wardens or PCC members. I suppose if we are teaching people about God, God needs to clean us up first. Notice it says that no one can stand in the face of such judgment, even the best of us. Even Gandhi, or Martin Luther King, or Julian of Norwich, or Bishop Libby need a bit of pruning, refining, purifying, to be fit to live with in the kingdom of God. The later parts of today's reading from Malachi turn to the others, people who we might think are worthy of judgment, whilst we might hope that we escape. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. So here, God will speak up to people who have been hurting others. I'm wondering if they will be able to stand in front of the accusation. Have you ever been in the dock at court? To stand in front of everyone while your crimes are read out, when there is no hiding from your guilt and shame, when your reputation is shattered. I have been present in court to see people I cared for in that place. I have seen the impact this has on them. It's life-changing in so many ways. So is spending time in prison. There is nothing in the way of Jesus throughout the telling of his story in the Bible that leads us to believe that his judgment leads to destruction. If we believe that God sends sunshine and rain for the righteous and the unrighteous, that Jesus brings rivers of living water to the foreign woman at the well who'd been used and abused by so many men, that the adulteress and Zacchaeus and the sinful woman who anointed his feet were changed forever by his love, then why do we think that he saves some and condemns others? Today's gospel reading talks about presenting Jesus in the temple. The child was presented 40 days after his birth to consecrate him to God and to complete the purification of his mother, who was made unclean by childbirth. They had to sacrifice two pigeons because they were too poor for a lamb. It's in the Bible. Mary was made impure by giving birth to the Messiah. Are you kidding? Sacrifices of animals on the altar in front of children. If we played a video of that in front of children today, we would have social services after us. Not everything in the Bible is right and good. Not every way we have translated or understood scriptures throughout the ages is perfect, but Jesus is. I invite you to remember how Jesus behaved when he was here and apply that learning, that gracious and loving ways when you approach passages about judgment in the Bible. For hundreds of years, the church in the West has perpetuated the understanding of the Bible that has emphasised crime and punishment. Today, many of us are repenting of that understanding. We are seeing Jesus truly revealed as the Saviour of the whole world. And what a beautiful Saviour and a beautiful redeemed world